have a copy of the Word of God, Book of Acts tonight, Acts chapter number 5. Acts chapter number 5, going to begin tonight reading in verse number 17. It's where we've come to in our study of the Book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the events that unfolded there after Christ was crucified, after He was buried and raised, and we saw the birth of the church, and we see the results of what took place at Calvary resulted in a brand new body of believers called the church. Those that have been called out of wherever they were at, and called into newness of life to walk and serve with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I'm just ever so thankful for what God's done for us, ever so thankful for what that He's done for our church. But I believe we see tonight some elements in this text that we're going to read tonight, some truths that we're going to read tonight that ought to give us affirmation as to what that it means to go with God. And that's what I want to preach to you tonight on, that thought, that truth, go with God. Let's stand tonight in honor and reverence for the reading of the Word of God. The Bible says there in the book of Acts chapter 5 and verse 17, "Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came and they that were with him and called the council together and all the senate of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, The prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they doubted of them, whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, Behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, Did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with His right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. We are His witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey Him." And you may be seated tonight. To go with God. We find that that's something that's very, very important in the life of a Christian. We find it's something very, very important in the life and the work of a local body of believers, is that we would determine within our hearts that we're going to go with God. No matter what comes our way, we're going to go with God. And we find that there's a band of believers here in the book of Acts, the apostles of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who had made that determination in their heart and in their mind. Now I believe that if you looked at them on the day in which Jesus was crucified upon Calvary, they were disbanded. We find that they were dispersed. We find that they were doubtful. We find that they were not really pleased with what was going on, and they thought that God had failed them. But on that third day when Jesus Christ arose, and as He made Himself alive and well unto them, my friend, we saw that their faith became firm. We find that they realized that there was a God in heaven above that had worked and wrought out this thing through His only begotten Son, that men and women, boys and girls, could be saved. And that there was hope, amen, that there was something to live for. So we find that the Bible brings us here to Acts chapter number 5. We find that whenever you have people that go with God, there's some truths that unfold around us. Hey, everybody ain't going to be happy if you sell out to Jesus. Everybody ain't going to be pleased if you go with God whole heart, all of your body, all of your soul, all of your mind, and all of your strength. We're going to find that it's going to rub some folks the wrong way. And we find here the Bible tells us, I believe, in verse 17 and 18, that whenever you have the truth and the affirmation, that you find folks that go with God, you're going to have a house of indignation. A house of indignation. Now the Bible says there in verse 17, then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. Hey, they had observed these men as they had lived their life for the Lord. Hey, they observed these men as they saw God come by on the day of Pentecost and filled the house with the presence of the Holy Ghost. And we find that God began a work there that will continue to be fulfilled until Jesus comes. My friend, we find that God done a work there in the life of these men. And we find that God had worked in and through them some great miracles. We find that God had done a great work in the life of sinners through these men, through their teaching, through their preaching, through their miracles, through their wonders, through their healing, through the power in which God had invested unto them. And we find that these men were only able to do these things because they had determined within themselves that they were going to serve God, that they were going to live for the Lord, that they were going to do those things that pleased Him. And we find that whenever God saw that, He placed upon them a special power. He worked in and through them a special work. And He done great things to authenticate His Son. He done great things to give affirmation that Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And we find here the Bible says that whenever those things came to pass, and all the folks around Jerusalem, they heard about Jesus, they heard about the church, they heard about the preaching, they heard about the teaching, they heard about the lives that were changed, they heard about the folks that were being healed and cured through these men. My friend, we saw that it caused a great stir around that land. We saw folks weren't necessarily flocking to Jerusalem to see the sights and to smell the smells and to see the things in which that God had had His hand upon since the days that He gave a vision unto a man by the name of Abraham to set his sights to head toward that land that God had promised him. We find that they were there not to see the rabbis. They were there not to see the high priest. They were there not to see the temple, but they were there to hear about Jesus. They were there to hear about this man that could do all things and about the salvation He could bring unto a home and how that He could heal a man's heart and cure him of his iniquities. Oh, they came down there to Jerusalem to see and to hear about the things in which Jesus could do. And you know what that did? That caused some old boys to become envious. Caused some to be filled with jealousy. Now I'll tell you what, you see God begin to do a great work, and you're going to find some folks that have some run-down religion that's going to get envious. They're going to get jealous. Hey, that word indignation literally means an envious and contentious rivalry. Hey, we find that they begin to realize that their foothold upon Jerusalem was about to slip away. They begin to realize that the clout and the prestige of life that they have been living, hey, their lifestyle was about to change. And my friend, the focus wasn't necessarily upon the Jew, as I say, but it was upon Jesus. And my friend, all of a sudden they begin to feel the pressure around them. All of a sudden they begin to get filled with envy. They were filled with jealousy. They were filled with the thoughts and the passions of this old flesh. My friend, whenever folks see you going with God, and they see the power of God upon your life, and they see God working in and through you, what are they going to do? They're going to get jealous. They're going to get envious. And I'm telling you what, now, hey, if they are truly sold out to Christ, and they're going with God also, they're not going to be envious. And I'll tell you what, that crowd, that house that's not going with God, there's going to be jealousy, there's going to be envy, there's going to be contention, there's going to be rivalry, there's going to be some hard feelings, there's going to be some harsh words. Hey, there's going to be some things done there that can only prove that they're not where they ought to be with Jesus. And my friend, we find that folks that go with God, around them will be a house of indignation. Hey, the Bible says there, all that were with Him, all those who were with the high priest, mainly that group of Sadducees. You see, the Sadducees had a couple of things that were against them. First of all, they didn't believe in the resurrection. That's exactly what Peter and John were preaching. They weren't there to preach and to give a devotion about how to live a good moral life. Hey, they weren't there to tell you how to receive wealth and health and prosperity. But what they were there to do was they were there to preach Christ crucified, preach Christ dying for the sin of all mankind. Preach Jesus placed in a barred tomb and exalt Him as resurrected Savior and Lord. Hey, to say He didn't remain there. He's not dead. He's not inactive. But He's vital. He's alive. He's seated at the Father's right hand. And the more they preach Christ and the resurrection power of the Most High God, the more it filled them old boys with envy. The more it filled them old boys with anger. The more it filled them with contention and rivalry and jealousy. And my friend, they begin to be rubbed the wrong way. Hey, the Bible says, and they laid their hands on the apostles. Now we find that Peter and John had already been cast in the stocks. They'd already been put in bonds. They'd already been placed in captivity. But my friend, they got the whole group together. They threw all 12 of the apostles within the walls of what the Bible says there as the common prison. Right down there with the ordinary folk. Right down there with the murderers and the thieves and the robbers. Oh, I don't know. They might have had their own holding cell. They might have had their own pod, so to speak. But my friend, we find nevertheless what they did with them was they tried to shut them up and they tried to get them out of the way. My friend, we see that there's a house of indignation. But we also find that wherever folks go with God, there's a heeding of instruction. A heeding of instruction. My friend, the only way that you'll have power in your life is if you heed unto the instruction in which God gives unto you. The only way you'll have power in your life is if you do what God says that you ought to do. And we find that's exactly what these old boys did. The Bible says in verse 19, "But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth." Hey, a messenger showed up. Amen. The word angel is the word angelos in the Greek, and it describes a messenger. It describes one that's been sent by God to proclaim truth, to give instruction, to give direction. We find that God has spoke through His messenger, the messenger of the Lord. Amen. Hey, we got messengers of Satan all around us. We've got messengers of men around us. But boy, ain't it good whenever God shows up and God speaks forth and God gives a clear word. And my friend, we find that these old boys had heard from heaven. And my friend, you and I sometimes can hear from heaven as well. God, hey, I think about this. Hey, if God could use a donkey to speak to Balaam, He can use multiple things to speak to you and I. Sometimes He might speak to you through a preacher. Sometimes He might speak to you through a singer. Sometimes He might speak to you through a billboard. Sometimes He might come across the radio and crawl right in your car with you as you're riding down the road. Hey, sometimes He might speak to you unto somebody through somebody else. Sometimes He might speak to you through your children. Sometimes He might speak to you through the events of your life. But sometimes He comes along as He spoke unto Elijah in that still, small voice. So my friend, that isn't necessarily the means in which God speaks to us that we need to emphasize on tonight, but it's the heeding of instruction that these men did in their life. Hey, they said, "I'm going to go with God." And my friend, that's exactly what you and I need to do if we're going to be a church that God will bless, a New Testament church, a bona fide church of the risen Savior. We need to heed the instruction that we find given unto us. So the Bible says there that that angel spoke unto them and he said these words, "Go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." My friend, there's first of all got to be a commissioning. Amen? My friend, God says go, we need to go. God says stop, we need to stop. God says gain understanding, you need to gain understanding. But my friend, God had already done a work in these men's lives. God had already called them out of sin. God already separated and consecrated their lives. And what He was telling unto them is, hey boys, you need to go and fulfill the duty in which God has given unto you. I don't know what your spiritual gift is. Only I know it is what my spiritual gift is. Amen. Hey, I know that some of you have been talented with singing. Some of you have talents to teach. Some of you have talents to serve. Some of you have talents to give mercy and to give money. But my friend, I believe that everybody needs to find out what their calling is and fulfill the calling that God has placed upon your life. These men had a calling to be the apostles of the Most High God. They had been commissioned to preach the gospel. And my friend, the angel, the messenger of the Lord said, go and stand and speak. My friend, that standing describes in verse number 20, it means to make firm. It means to fix yourself. It means to establish yourself. My friend, there ain't no shaky ground with Christ. Hey, there ain't no room for weak-kneed believers in the body of Christ, especially in the day and time and the age in which we live. We need to have some folks that are willing to stand and based upon the Bible, allowing the Word of God to be their foundation, allowing Christ to be the rock of their foundation of their life, and they need to stand upon something. Amen. Used to be an old song, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And my friend, if the church don't take a stand for something in the year 2011, my friend, we'll falter, we'll fail, we'll fade away. My friend, we need to be a church that's willing to stand upon the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hey, to stand means to make firm, to fix, to establish. It means to stand immovable. It means to stand firm. It means to stand ready, amen, and to be prepared. My friend, that's why you come to church. I hope you come to church not to see and be seen, but that you might prepare yourself to go back out into a lost and dying world, that you can be vibrant on Monday, that you can be filled with the power of God as you walk into work, that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil and hold forth that shield of faith and place that helmet of salvation upon you and shod your feet with the gospel that you might be able to be a witness wherever it is you go tomorrow. Amen. Hey, you need to be ready. Hey, you need to be prepared. Hey, you can only do that when you get the Word of God and get the Word of God in you. My friend, the Bible tells us here in verse number 20, He says, go and stand and speak. My friend, God told them, hey, you need to get over your shyness. You need to get over your timidity. Hey, you need to stand up and you need to speak forth the things in which God has done for you in this life. Hey, this to speak means to utter. It means to tell. It means to declare one's mind. To disclose one's thoughts. My friend, God done something in your life this week that He only done for you, and you're the only one that knows about it. And my friend, He's done that work in your life so that you might give testimony and that you might give witness unto somebody else, that they might be encouraged, that they might be evangelized. And my friend, that a lost and dying world can know that there is hope, and the only hope is found in Christ. My friend, those that go with God heed the instruction. Hey, the instruction is to go and to stand and to speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life, the Christian life. Amen. Hey, the only life that's worth living is the Christian life. Hey, there's a lot of folks think they're really living and they're high on the hog and they got money and they got things and they got substances and they abuse all three. My friend, they think they're really living. But my friend, life really begins when you come to know Jesus. Well, not only when you come to know Him, but also whenever you fully surrender your heart and your soul unto Him. That's when life begins. Hey, Christian life is active. It's vibrant. Christian life is real. Hey, it's what enables you to be victorious on this side of heaven. My friend, it's a Christian life. And He tells them, oh boys, He says, go, stand, and speak.
give forth, disclose to all the people all the words of this life. What is he saying? Preach the gospel. Tell others about Jesus. Tell others about Christ. And my friend, I'm glad they didn't hoard it up, ain't you? I'm glad they didn't hold it within. I'm glad they didn't run and get in the closet. I'm glad they didn't just say, I'm going to go in a monastery. I'm going to become a monk. I'm going to become one of these. And it just goes and studies and studies and studies. And don't never give forth the gospel. No. He said, go and stand and speak and preach the gospel. My friend, we find the Bible tells us there in verse number 21, and when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. Amen. Hey, they went in there and they said, I'm going to instill some doctrine into this motley crew. Hey, I'm going to go in here. I'm going to give forth some instruction. I'm going to give forth the things of God. I'm going to preach the glad tidings. I'm going to share the good news. And my friend, they heeded the instruction in which God had given unto them, and they did that which God told them to do. Hey, they went with God. Amen. They served the Lord Savior, Jesus Christ. And they did not heed the instruction. Now, hey, we're reminded over there in chapter number 4, verse 13, the Bible says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And then they said, whoa, what are we going to do now? So they, what they did was they told them in verse number 17, it says, but they spread it no further among the people, let it straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they told them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But they didn't do what the Sanhedrin said. Amen. They didn't heed what the high priest said. They didn't do what the council said. They didn't listen to what the senator said. No! Hey, they listened to God. And they went with God. And they served God. And they heeded His instruction. So my friend, when you go with God, you not only see a house of indignation and a heeding of instruction, but you also see the handiwork of irritation. Oh, it just ruffled their feathers that much more. It just caused them to become that much more indignant, and they got irritated and they got irate. And the Bible tells us here in verse number 21, but the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut up with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one of them and told them, saying, behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then with the captain, with the officers, and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. Hey, they were standing there entirely at loss, in complete perplexion, wondering what is taking place. And they knew that there was something great going on. Oh, they went to the prison. They found it shut just as they had left it the evening before. But when they opened the doors, there's nobody inside. And here these men are. Hey, they didn't hide, tail, and run. If somebody escapes Wayne County Jail, they're going to run, ain't they? They ain't going to go right out there in the courthouse and begin to do the same things they did before. No, they're going to run. Not these boys. They knew they had somebody greater on their side. They knew they were serving a higher power. They knew they were doing what God had commissioned and called them. And He did not just call them, but He equipped them. Amen. Hey, God will never call you and ask you to do something, but that He don't equip you to do. And my friend, we find that these old boys went and they stood in the temple and they taught and they preached the gospel and they shared Christ and they exalted Him. They evangelized them. They exhorted them. They reproved them, rebuked them. But my friend, they gave them the correction that they needed. That was the gospel of Christ. The Bible tells us here in verse number 27, "And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, Did we not straightly command you that ye should not teach in this name?" Now, look at this. They were not even willing to call Jesus by name. I believe that they might have not wanted to put any more teaching upon them, upon Christ, than what they had to. But I believe it went further than that. I believe whenever they spoke His name, it brought conviction to their own heart. I believe they realized that their indignation and their jealousy was of the world, the flesh, and the devil, and that it did not hold a candle, did not hold a stick, compared to a holy God. And my friend, we find that as they said this, they did not refer to Him as Jesus, but they said that you should not teach in this name. "And behold, you fill Jerusalem with your doctrine and your teaching, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." He says, "What are you doing? What do you think you're doing? Teaching in this name. Trying to bring the blood of this man upon us." So we see the handiwork of irritation. But then we see in verse 29 through 32, the heart of inclination. My friend, God will honor somebody that's leaning toward heaven. God will honor somebody who has their heart bent toward God. God will honor somebody who intends with their soul to serve their Savior no matter what may come. And we see their heart was full of God. Their heart was full of the Holy Ghost. Their heart was intending to serve Jesus. And the Bible says there in verse number 29, "Then Peter, being the spokesman, and the other apostles answered and said, We ought to obey God rather than men." Hey, that word "ought" that we find there means it is necessary. There is need of, it is right, and it is proper. My friend, there's some things that's right to do, and there's some things that are really right to do. And my friend, we need to have discernment to realize what that we need to be about doing. My friend, it's good to come to church, and it's good to be here, and to be present. But my friend, there's something greater that we can do than assemble ourselves on Sunday and Wednesday, and it's to evangelize the gospel to a lost and dying world. My friend, our children need to see parents going with God. Our parents need to see children going with God. Hey, in this country, what this country needs to see is a group of believers that are determined within themselves, hey, I'm going with God. And my friend, the Bible tells us here that Peter said, hey, what we ought to do, what's right, what's proper, is that we not heed unto you, but that we obey God. Hey, the Bible says there in verse number 29, we ought to obey God rather than men. To obey Him means to hearken unto Him. It means to walk in obedience. Hey, the Bible tells us that obedience is better than sacrifice. Hey, walking in obedience unto a holy God is better than all the outward works and all the good deeds. Hey, to be in God's will is where we need to long for. My friend, these men said, hey, I don't care what you have to say, high priest. I don't care what you have to say, Sanhedrin. We're going to serve our God because He's far better than dead religion. There's a lot of folks got dead religion. That's what these Jews had, was dead religion. But they saw a vibrant church, a living church, a real and genuine church that were happy about serving God. All that stirred up about their Savior. They were filled with the Spirit and their heart was leaning toward heaven. Hey, they had a longing to serve God. They were going with Him. Hey, the Bible says there in verse number 30, as Peter preached and as he gave unto them the gospel, he said, "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree." Hey, them Sadducees, here once again, they're being pressed with the resurrection. Hey, the Sadducees didn't believe in angels either, and we find that it was a messenger of God, an angel, that came and opened up the doors of the prison. Hey, I'm telling you what, they just get right and get saved. Hey, they could begin to believe. Amen. My friend, that's what this world needs to see. It needs to see a church that's sold out to their Savior, that might encourage them, might inspire them, might give them the ability to see a living faith that they also might long to have faith as well. My friend, the Bible tells us here in verse number 30, He says, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus. Hey, I'm glad He's not dead. Amen. He's alive forevermore. And He's seated at the Father's right hand. He says, whom ye slew, whom ye killed, whom you hung, whom you slaughtered, who you slayed. He says there, and hanged upon the tree, who you suspended upon the cross, on Golgotha's hill, on the hill of Calvary, up there, that place of the skull. That's whom Jesus is. And He was raised after you hanged Him there, after you placed Him, or after He was placed, rather, in that barred tomb. And the Bible says there in verse number 31, Him hath God exalted with His right hand. Amen. Hey, the Bible tells us in the book of Psalms, Psalm 110 and verse 1, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Sit at my right hand. Hey, the right hand of God is a place of power. It's a place of prominence. It's a place of prestige. It's a place of service for the high priest, the Lord Jesus Himself. And the Bible says there in verse number 30, 31, He says, Him hath God exalted with His right hand. Him hath God lifted up on high. He's raised Him, listen, to the very summit of prosperity, the very summit of dignity, the very summit of honor. There's no one higher than Christ in God's eyes. But boy, if we're in the blood, amen, if we're in the lineage of Christ, if we're underneath the umbrella of Christ's salvation, God also will honor us and dignify us and exalt us if we'll serve Him. Hey, you got to go with God to get anywhere in this life. Amen. Hey, you got to serve Him. Hey, the Bible tells us there in verse number 31, Him hath God exalted with His right hand to be a Prince and a Savior. That word Prince, we find, describes unto us His position as the chief leader. He's the Christ. It also has been defined as being a pioneer. He's one that's out there. He's an instigator. He's an originator. My friend, He is the one that provides salvation. He's the one that provides rescue. He's the one that provides deliverance. And my friend, He is our Prince and our Savior. He's the one that will help us. He's the one that will rescue us. He's the one that we can call on to save us from our sins. He's the one that we can call on to rescue us from danger. To help the perishing, amen, and to rescue the dying. That's whom we serve, is our Savior, Jesus Christ. And He says there in verse number 31, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. He wanted to bring forth repentance. Repentance is a change of one's mind. And my friend, the nation of Israel needed a change of their mind. My friend, they still need a change of mind. But my friend, the gospel first went to the Jew and then also the Greek. The nation of Israel is the apple of God's eye. And my friend, His desire is to see them saved. And my friend, Peter's desire was to see them saved. And Christ came first for the Jew. And He's standing there amongst the Sanhedrin, looking the high priest in the eye and telling him, He died for you. He rose for you. His salvation is for you if you'll only change your mind about whom that He is. Hey, Peter said, I'm going to go with God. Amen. And my friend, if we will go with God, we will also be able to have opportunities like they had to evangelize the lost, to share the gospel with those that are most in need. Hey, the Bible tells us here in verse number 31, and to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness, remission of sins, as if it never happened. as if it never occurred. Amen. Hey, don't that bring joy to your heart and joy to your soul to know that when you call upon God and you say, God, I've committed this and I've done this and I'm asking in the powerful holy name of Jesus to forgive me of my sins. My friend, they're washed away. Hey, they're cast out. They're no longer remembered. They're no longer looked upon. All this world likes to bring up the muck and the mire. The world likes to dig in the past. The world likes to always bring to remembrance. And the devil does the same thing. But boy, aren't you glad in the eyes of Christ that everything's forgiven. Everything's gone. The slate's wiped clean. If you call upon His name, and only upon His name, asking the blood be applied and in forgiveness. Hey, there's a heart of inclination for those that go with God. For the Bible says there in verse 32, and we are His witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost. My friend, what is a witness as it's defined? It describes those whose lives and actions testify to the worth and effect of faith. Does your life and your actions testify? Does your life and your actions give evidence to the worth and the effect of your faith? Oh, there's lots of times that we are easily proclaiming the gospel, but do our lives line up with what we preached? Do our lifestyle line up with what we teach? Do we fall underneath the Lordship of Jesus Christ as the Bible gives us commandment to do? Hey, the Bible says there in verse number 32, and we are His witnesses of these things. Oh, that there's no one perfect. Hey, there is none righteous, no, not one. Hey, my friend, there's nobody that's ever achieved the glory of Christ until they get to heaven. But my friend, we long to, amen? And we strive to. And it only will happen whenever we make the determination in our heart that we're going to go with God. Hey, the Bible tells us here in verse number 32, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey Him. My brother, it speaks unto us this fact, I believe, twofold, that those that are saved by the power of Christ's blood are also filled with the Holy Spirit of God, sealed unto the day of redemption of the purchased possession. When you get saved, and my friend, you get all of God, and my friend, you get all that you need, and you're equipped with what do you need to be a witness in this world. Amen? Now, you don't know all the doctrines, and you don't know all the teachings, and you don't know all those things right off the bat, but my friend, God gives you everything you need through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Once salvation occurs. So I believe that it teaches that they're in unison. Amen? Salvation and the Holy Spirit working together. What are they working together for? They're working together so that we can give evidence to a lost and dying world through our life that Jesus is alive. How do you do that? It's through our service. It's through our submission. It's through our surrender of giving our life unto Christ. And my friend, it's twofold. Also, I believe the Bible teaches here and shares with us. He says there in verse number 32, and so also the Holy Ghost whom God hath given to them that obey Him. There'll be no power of God in your life or in my life unless we're surrendered unto Jesus. Amen. God won't move in and through us unless we obey Him. God won't use us unless we obey Him. God won't touch our church unless we obey Him. God won't touch your witness unless we obey Him. My friend, we need to be in surrender unto Him. Need to be in submission unto Him. Need to be seeking and searching, longing after Him. My friend, I'm going to go with God. How about you? I want to serve Him all the days of my life. And my friend, sometimes that means suffering. Sometimes that means surrender. Sometimes that means sacrifice. But my friend, if it's for the glory of God, so be it. Amen. That Jesus might be glorified and exalted in our lives. Every head bowed, every eye closed.